Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That's Isaiah 58:12. I'm Sandra Flack. Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio ministry of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our guest today, joining us via Skype from Switzerland, is my friend Barbara Ruger. Barbara is an advocate for children at risk all over the world. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
It's just an honor to have you on the show. I got to finally, well, I've met you before. We usually meet about once a year at the CAFO Orphan Summit, but it's just great to have you on the show finally. And let's just get started with, Barbara, as a single woman, you do travel the world advocating for children at risk. Where does your passion for vulnerable children come from? Where did that first begin for you?
Yes, it's true. I do travel all over. But it really all started first in Switzerland. I'm the oldest of four kids, three cousins who grew up together. So I was always the one organizing whatever programs, you know, for us to play. I then became a nurse, didn't like nursing that much, and started to think, so what else? And during this time, I also became a Christian. And after some time of being a Christian, I really started to pray and asking the Lord what He had for me. What were my gifts? I didn't really know. I had no outstanding gift, like singing and going for worship or something. And so I asked the Lord and said, please show me what you have for me, what your plan for me is and where I should be investing in your kingdom. And of course, I was new in the church, and of course people asked me if I could join Sunday school. Mm-hmm. But I told them that I was praying and asking the Lord where He wanted me to be. This was in 1990. And that was a very important and crazy time for Europe, where the Iron Curtain fell and the countries in Eastern Europe, for which I had really been praying a lot, were freed. And so that was a possibility to join a camp in Romania with Romanian children, just half a year after Ceausescu was overthrown. And I had been praying for that, and so I joined the camp. I went to Romania. I loved the camp. Lots of our kids were really underprivileged kids from very poor families, broken families, single parent families. I didn't realize at that time that they were all children at risk. I just loved it. And I felt that's it. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And so I thought, okay, if this is God's calling on my life, I need to start somewhere. And I went home to our youth pastor, children's pastor, and said, okay, you have asked me if I wanted to join to teach Sunday school. Here I am. I'm ready. I'll start. And basically, that's how I started to work with and for children in, 27 years ago.
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
So yeah, that's how it started. And I think the other thing is also that I lost my father when I was 14, and I experienced in my life, as well as in the life of my younger siblings, what it means to grow up without a father.
Mm. And you also made several trips to Romania over those early years. And one particular visit to Romania with your sister and your mom, you visited a baby home, which had a huge impact on you. Can you share with us about that experience?
Yeah, after that first time to Romania for the camp, we we were hooked, my mother, my sister and I, and we went back to visit people. And my sister, who is a trained social pedagogue, went to Romania for some month to work in a baby home, hoping that she could bring some change for the good and maybe train the people who were working there, which only worked to some degree. And a few months later, we were back in Romania again, and she brought us to that orphanage, to that children's home, to meet the leader and to see where my sister had worked. And so first we visited the normal wards where the children were lying in their little cribs. And when nobody was looking, my sister brought us to a hidden room that we were not supposed to go in. And at first it looked like some storage room with lots of little children's beds in it, except that in all those beds were kids, from small kids, and all of them were handicapped. Mm. One of them was a blind child who was rocking back and forth because there was nothing from outside for the child. And that night in my bed, I couldn't sleep. I saw the children in the cribs, and I cried out to the Lord and said, help me to do something for these kids. Mm.
And you also visited an orphanage in Ukraine after that. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was another interesting, so to say, experience. I brought a group of teenagers from Switzerland, from my organization, to the Ukraine. Sorry. And we were told that we could go and visit an orphanage, which we thought that would be very interesting for us. And when we came to that orphanage, some of the people who worked there came up to our van and said, please don't get out of the van, stay in the van, you have to turn around. And we were like, what is happening? And they said that the small children that we were supposed to visit all were sick and in the hospital, all of them. And that the older children were still there, but they couldn't tell us if they would not attack us and harm us and try to steal from us if we wouldn't go. Later, the people who were with us said that they didn't believe that the children were sick, but they were probably brought to the hospital because they had nothing to eat, hoping that at least in the hospital the children would get food. So the little kids got food, the older ones had nothing. That's why they were afraid they might attack us and take money from us.
Wow. So you've had just incredible experiences and learned so much along the way, and working with vulnerable children. You knew you wanted to bring change to these children that you were meeting along the way. One way of doing that was through training people who provide care for these kids. And then you learned about attachment theory from a contact in Brazil. Can you share with us how that has led you to the work that you're doing today?
Yeah. Besides having the countries in Eastern Europe on my heart, another country that was on my heart was India. And so I moved to India to work with three children in India. And as you said, I started to train people how to work with children, how to understand children better. And one day, while I was running a training, I had a trainer come who said, you know what? We just had somebody come to our ministry, a street children ministry in Brazil, who I thought was very successful. And he said, the woman who came, she taught us something that completely changed our ministry. I was like, that's interesting. What is it? And he shared with me for the first time about attachment and the whole attachment theory. And he said, you need to know about that. He pointed me to books and said, read those books. You will learn more about it. It's really good, which I did. I also went for seminars to learn more about attachment. And so with that, then I started to train far and wide people on the topic of attachment, because I realized how important it is when we work with orphans and vulnerable children to understand it.
Can you explain, Barbara, for our listeners, what attachment is and why it's so important, especially when working with orphans and foster children?
Yeah, of course. It all starts with really little kids. A little baby, when it is born, there will be a bonding that is happening throughout the first year of his life together with his mother while they interact with each other. It's the baby who reaches out to the mother by reaching out his little arms, by making sounds. It's the mother who reacts to it, or it's the mother who reaches out to the little child by talking to the child. And so mother and child, father and child form this attachment. And the attachment that is formed gives the little child a secure base to work from. It forms trust, like that basic trust that we all need in order to function well and in order to interact with other people. It continues in the second year with the parents who are helping children to know their boundaries, to know who they are, through all the loving care that a healthy family is giving to the little children. And in a normal, so-called normal healthy family, we don't think too much about it. It just happens. But children who grow up either without parents in an orphanage, who don't have that one-on-one interaction with a so-called primary caregiver, or who grow up in a family where there is a lot of abuse and neglect, they never develop that attachment to those first primary caregivers in a family that would be mother and father, but it could also be older siblings. Children are actually able to form an attachment to quite a few people if they are stable in the life of the child. And so if this attachment is not happening, then we have children who have very hard times to trust others. If you don't trust, you cannot be open to others. You become sneaky. Children can also become quite aggressive, violent, because of all the anger they experience when they realize people who are supposed to care for me are not caring for me. Mm. And the child doesn't know what to do. And so they store that anger in them, which later comes out. And that's what we face when we work with vulnerable children, with children who have grown up in orphanages or in very abusive families.
Yeah, and that's and God created us to be in relationship, to be in relationship with Him, to be in relationship with each other. And of course, He created that family unit for parents to be in relationship with the infant, with the child. And that's where children learn about how to operate in relationship. So if there's a breakdown in that early child-parent relationship, that will affect every relationship the child has from then on in his lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. I like to say that a good attachment is like a solid bridge where we can go and have relationships with other people.
Yes.
And if you don't have that solid bridge, it's not good.
Yeah, you can't get to that other side in that relationship. And another thing that we have learned too is with the way God designed for that early interaction between especially the mother and the infant, that helps the brain to come online, so to speak, and kind of lights up the brain so that the child is able to learn and to grow and to develop normally. And in children who don't have that connection early on and there's not that attachment, there's a breakdown there and it impacts the brain development, which impacts behavior, which a lot of foster parents and adoptive parents, that's what they're dealing with on the other end. And it all really began in that very beginning when there was lack of attachment, lack of care, lack of nurture. It's so vital in those developmental years.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the very important points. If we today, with the modern technologies, we can even prove that the brain is not developed properly because of missing attachment.
Yes.
And because it's not now properly developed, children don't function normally, and is a lot of time needed for that brain to heal and to develop, which again, we know, because we know more about the brain these days, is that the brain can heal, but it takes time. And I think often when we try to help vulnerable children, we think, oh, we just tell them and then they change.
Right.
Which doesn't even work. Us, if I have a bad habit, if somebody tells me, oh, you have a bad habit, you should change, I will not change by tomorrow.
Right.
And I think that's very, very important, that we need to be aware that in order for that brain to change and to heal, time is required.
Yeah.
So we need to know we're in for a long run. I say sometimes a marathon. And one time a mother, or a foster mother, said, I think I'm in for a double marathon. I said, maybe you are.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Because trauma does not tell time. I read an article not too long ago, and that was the name of it. Trauma does not tell time. And these children who have lacked that attachment, you know, that attachment is, you know, is crucial. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. Joining us today via Skype from Switzerland is my friend and advocate for children at risk, Barbara Ruger. Barbara is affiliated with King's Kids, a program of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and she's also an Orphan Sunday coordinator in Europe. And Barbara, talk to us a little bit about the work that you are doing today in training and in helping children at risk.
Yeah, basically the whole issue about attachment, I have done a master's in holistic child development, and we were highly encouraged to do something practical, not to write a thesis for the bookshelf. And so because of that, and because it was so much on my heart, I wrote a small manual on helping children with attachment issues, which now I can use. And it also has been translated into some Indian languages. And I can use it now. And I travel and train people in different places on that issue of attachment, of trauma, of helping them to understand what the children need who have experienced orphanages or abuse early, and how they can help them best. And so I travel often to Eastern Europe, but I'm still very much involved in India and just wherever people invite me to come and train people. And so I have trained a lot of foster parents and workers. I have even been able to go to orphanages. Among others, I was in a Moldovan orphanage. Mm. And when I first came there, the workers there said, oh, we have so many questions that we want to ask you. And I said, yeah, this is great. I will teach you first, and then we'll have time for questions. And after I had finished, I said, okay, now is the question time. And they said, we have no more questions. You have answered all of them, which showed me how little training they had previously had. Yeah. Because I really talked about very basic things.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that, having adopted four children from Eastern Europe. I appreciate the value in training orphanage staff, because they don't understand. I don't believe that they really understand fetal alcohol syndrome, which is prevalent in Eastern Europe, and trauma, and you know how important attachment is, and all of those things. And oftentimes in the orphanage, the trauma that a child experiences, you know, not only came maybe, you know, prenatally and came from abandonment at birth or whatever circumstance led the child to be placed in an orphanage, but it can also continue within the orphanage setting because the workers are not trained and they don't understand how to care really for these kids and meet their needs holistically. So it's so important.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So a quick question that I just thought of, because we talked really briefly, I mentioned that you're an Orphan Sunday coordinator in Europe. Can you tell us a little bit about that so our listeners know? Because we have Orphan Sunday coming up in the next few months here in November, and we want our listeners to get that on their church calendar. So what do you do there in Europe for Orphan Sunday?
Yeah, it's still an uphill battle.
Yes, here too, believe it or not.
I'm trying to, but... just recently, I met with some people who are working with the World Without Orphans, as well as with people who work for refugees. And even last year, I realized, wow, the orphans we have right now in Europe, many of them are the so-called unaccompanied minors, children who are refugees, asylum seekers who are under 18. And they are the orphans we have in Europe right now. And I really, really would like to bring that, you know, to the forefront and challenge churches, you know, hey, what are you doing for them? They are kids. They're alone. They're the orphans of today that we have in Europe. And I think we need to see that orphans are not far away, like those asylum seekers. They're in our countries. They're not for us in Western Europe. In Russia, or I don't know where. So just to see that we have the vulnerable and the orphans at our doorsteps.
That's right.
And we need to reach out to them.
That's right. So Barbara, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear?
Okay, maybe I share a personal example to make it clear what I mean. Like I said, I became an orphan. I lost my father when I was 14, and I had a really good relationship with him. And as a 14-year-old teenager, I really missed my father. And then for a time, a family invited me to come and have lunch once a week with them while I was attending a school in their neighborhood. And always after lunch, the man of the family took time and sat with me, and we had coffee together, and we talked about anything and everything. And for me to have that father figure in my life, at least for a time, was so important. And that's what I would really like to challenge anyone. You know, it doesn't matter if you are married and you could adopt or foster children, or if you are single, if you're young or old, but we can all become a significant adult for a child. Maybe it's a child in our neighborhood, you know, maybe it's a child that is a bit further away, but where we can have an impact in his life, where we can be there for the child over a longer period and be the person who the child knows I can count on that person, I can trust on that person, even if the child is not becoming my foster or my adopted child, because not everyone is able to do that. But we all can give some time.
That's right.
A child who needs it.
Yeah. Any one of us can be that caring adult a kid needs. I heard an adult who grew up in the foster care system say one time that every child is just one caring adult away from success.
Yes.
That one adult can make all the difference in the life of a child. And our job is to just really ask the Lord where, you know, what would you have us to do? Just like you asked the Lord, you know, many years ago, you know, when you first became a Christian, what is it that you are called to do? What is it that the Lord has for you to do? And you've walked that out faithfully all of these years. That's really for each one of us, because God has a plan for each one of us, and there's a way for each one of us to be involved. We can be married, we could be single, we could already have children of our own, maybe not have any children yet. There's so many ways that we can have an impact, and it's really just ask the Lord what he would have us to do, and then walk that out in obedience.
Yeah. Definitely. Can I share a little example?
Yes, last please. Example? Yes.
Like I said, I was working with street children in India. And among others, I met the family many of them were street families, but the children were roaming really in the streets, not being much cared for by the parents. And there was a family with five children. And the youngest, I met the youngest when he was a baby. And his parents died when he was probably about 6 or 7. Both died the same year because of alcohol mainly. And I always had a really good relationship with this little boy, and I was able to bring him to friends who had a small children's home with a small group of boys. And now he's 18. I'm still in touch with him, and I saw him in February, and he had his big final exam ahead of him of class 10, which is a big thing in India. And math is his problem. And I was able to meet him in February, and I talked with him. We talked about school. I said, you know, it's 2 more months. Do everything you can, you know, to succeed in math. And then it's the last thing you ever do with math. Afterwards, you don't have to do math anymore. But just 2 months, invest everything. And now through a friend, he sent me the news that he has succeeded in all of the subjects, including maths, and has passed his exam. So I'm really proud of him.
Yes.
And I will see him again in a few weeks.
Well, and that's a perfect example of investing in the life of a kid and making a difference. Yeah. So, Barbara, thank you for all that you are doing on behalf of vulnerable children around the world. You truly are a voice for them. And thank you for being on our show today.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you so much. It was an honor. I'm Sandra Flack, and I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can go to our website to find our past shows, justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio show and you'll find a menu to choose from. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, educates, and equips the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More and executive director of Justice for Orphans. I would love to come and share with your church, small group, women's ministry, or youth group about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. To learn more or to contact me, visit justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.